Fuck Montrose! Fuck Montrose! Fuck Montrose! Here's Derek Knight and Colin Burton with this week's installment of the Son of Cheese Fuck Montrose Half Hour Power Hour.
It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. With me, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Hi, listeners.
Listener.
Okay, listener.
Listener. Right. With us, similar to last week, my sister Heather from Bad at Spam.
Hi.
Justin Carmichael, the Jew Wario from Emerald Hierophantum.
Shalom, my peep.
And Jennifer, Justin's wife, poet extraordinaire, Jenny Valentine. Buy her book on Amazon.com called Pocket Prayers.
Hello, everyone. And thank you to the eight people who bought a
the
copy.
The eight people who have purchased a copy of Pocket Prayers. So how's that going so far?
I've had about $6 in royalties so far.
Six whole dollars.
Six more dollars than we've made.
Wow, you're right, Colin.
Nothing I've done has made me
God
any money lately.
Damn, she's successful. By comparison to us, she is six times as successful.
No, we'd have to have made one for her to be six times. I mean, she's like 1,000 times.
That's right. It all looks like an insurmountable mountaintop to us. $5, $5,000, it's all the same. Might as well be the same. And speaking of monies, Jennifer, did you grow up poor?
We had our poor times, yeah.
Yeah, because that is the subject of today's podcast. Growing up destitute and poor. And Heather, you and I, we didn't really grow up poor. We were well-to-do, even. We had our top hats and tails, and yes, have you seen the well-to-do up and down Park Avenue on that famous thoroughfare with...
Your nose is in the air.
Their nose is in the air.
Whatever. No, your nose is, yeah.
Luckily, we do have our two resident poor kids to fill us in.
You should have your wife here.
Well, she's not here, but we do have our resident poor kids, Colin and Justin, to fill us in on what it's like to grow up dirt poor and smell like sour milk.
I wasn't dirt poor.
And I didn't smell like sour milk. That's true.
No, that's just it. I'm poor now. Right now, I've got less than $20 to my name. But
We had a sandbox when I was growing up, so we were sand poor.
Ah, so not quite dirt poor.
Not quite.
But sand poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing pretty good up until the divorces.
But then following the divorces...
Following the divorces,
all bets were off, all the shit hit the fan, and you suddenly went on free or reduced lunch. One of the many badges of shame of the poor kid. Colin, tell us how that was.
It was wonderful, Derek.
That's bad, right? To be poor? Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, and getting free lunch, because everyone knows that you get free lunch. Because we had free lunch sometimes, too.
They may as well just put a sticker on your forehead.
Or maybe on the back of your Goodwill shirt.
There you go. Kick this kid, he's poor.
What's even worse is when your parents couldn't pay for the reduced lunch. You know, when my mom just didn't have enough money and told me to give him any excuse I could because I couldn't pay for my lunch. Oh, it was horrible.
When I was in junior high, my mom worked for the school and I was still on free lunch.
Wow.
So she wasn't making enough money for me to be off of free lunch working for the school.
Well, schools don't pay much, Colin.
No, they don't.
I mean, especially for the unskilled labor. I mean, you're talking a minimum wage at best.
Unskilled labor? She was a secretary.
Oh, she was a secretary. I thought she would be the lunch lady. I'm sorry.
No, she wasn't the lunch lady.
Yeah, it's a public school. It's slave wages.
Yeah, the secretaries don't get paid much at all, seriously.
Yeah, that sucked.
I mean, nothing's really changed as far as that goes.
No.
Heather, do you remember the poor kids that we used to pick on, at least?
I never picked on anybody.
Sure you didn't. You'll say that now.
I didn't. I was the nice, quiet one.
Yeah, sure.
You didn't have a Kenny in your group of friends?
You didn't.
Oh, Kenny, you poor!
Maybe poor people always smell like sour milk.
I had one friend that was like really, really poor, but we didn't pick on her. I didn't.
Didn't go over to her house for sleepovers
either, did you?
Did
other people pick on her?
No, because her dad was a child molester. We never went over to her house. He was scary.
No wonder they were poor.
Yeah, that shit costs money.
That's right.
Got to buy candy and magazines and have an extra bed. You know, I've been poor.
Pay people to look the other way.
That's right. You know, I've been poor as an adult, definitely. Dirt poor. Mm-hmm. So poor that, you know, literally having no money and no food and, you know, no prospects of having money. When I lived in Denver going to school, when I had lost one of the many jobs that I either got fired from or quit. And, you know, just bartering essentially at the 7-Eleven for the leftover Big Bite hot dogs that had been on the rollers all day. Just things like that. Of course, when right after the wife and I got married, she was still going to school. And so that's when you learn to prioritize the bills. When you're not quite even living paycheck to paycheck, you decide who gets paid. Hint, if they can take it away from you or shut it off, pay them first. Because, because that's always a good plan. So that belied our well-to-do upbringing. I mean, we were always on the top of the heap there as far as things go. We wore gold shoes to school, even. We were so rich. Heather's got this look on her face. Unfortunately, sour looks.
Maybe
don't...
you must. You're the favorite. You got the gold shoes. I got no gold.
No, I mean, we weren't well-to-do. We certainly weren't on free or reduced lunch. Mm-mm. I mean, I think we barely qualified for you to get a Pell Grant to go to school, which you never finished.
Right.
And nothing's more embarrassing than going to a 7-Eleven or the Quickie Mart and paying for groceries with food stamps. That's
and
enough
loose
to make
change.
A kid.
To, why would you go to 7-Eleven for groceries, though?
It was the closest one. We didn't have a, you know, we...
You know, I hate to say this, but really not making your...
walking
really
distance.
Not making your food stamp dollar go very far in 7-Eleven. Lunch meat costs like $8,
yeah,
I think, at 7-Eleven.
It was embarrassing.
Using food stamps sucks.
Yeah.
And
they have
after Justin was born.
Now they have cards. They have the credit cards.
Yeah.
It's not much better, though.
And it's not much better because have you ever been in line behind one of those poor fuckers?
No. Indeed.
They always try to buy something that they're not allowed to have.
Yeah, they got to ring things up separately.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it really hasn't gotten much better. Yeah. If anybody listening is dirt poor at this point, I'm sorry, we're not really making fun of you. But if you're able to listen to this, you're at least able to afford the internet, so you can't be that poor.
They could be at the library. Why do you never remember the library?
We're at a friend's house, a rich friend's house.
At a friend's house.
A rich friend's house.
Oh, please.
Don't any of you.
Please, Heather, poor people don't have friends.
They can't afford them.
That's right.
No, that's not true. In fact, I was...
They can't afford them. They just have to do...
You lie.
They have to do pleasures
no,
for them.
No, let me be
Up
serious.
Up until then, everything was...
Let me be serious for just a minute, okay?
We could definitely allow you to.
Because we were thinking about this a couple months ago. We were talking to your mom, Justin. When I was like 5 years old, we lived in a small town home, and everyone around us was poor. And... Yeah. It was very diverse, you know, everyone was
poor.
So we were all equal that way, and it wasn't a shame, you know. If someone had just lost their job and was looking for work, other people would help look for them.
Because they had time on their hands because they didn't have work.
Yeah, and, like, people would help each other out. They'd watch each other's kids because everyone needs to help each other out.
And poor people usually have many kids.
I don't deny that. And, like, say a barbecue. You know, say someone manages to get a barbecue. Suddenly, grill. Suddenly, everyone... Uh-oh. You're laughing so hard. Let me finish.
I'm sorry. Well, thanks for bringing the room down, by the way. But I'll tell you why I was laughing when you're done with your story.
Somebody in the neighborhood, in the poor neighborhood, gets a barbecue grill. Everyone, the whole neighborhood, wants to get together and share. And everyone wants to bring food and get together and have this wonderful community. Then, you know, years later, mom and dad both have better paying jobs. They've finally been able to afford a house of their own. We're in a neighborhood. It's not well-to-do. It's, you know, average. But suddenly, even though the people aren't any better or worse than the people from the poor neighborhood, if somebody gets a barbecue grill, it's not, oh, let's all get together at so-and-so's house. Anymore. It's, oh, I want a new grill too. It's a competition thing rather than a community thing. And so that's one sad drawback.
So poor people have more modesty or
community?
Well,
or
I think that they feel that they've got less that they need to build walls around.
That, you know, that was probably the most eloquent thing anybody has said on this podcast yet. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to go back and then tell you why exactly.
Okay.
I was yeah. laughing at the thought of the poor folk barbecue.
the hibachi.
You kids have likely all seen the movie National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah.
The Randy Quaid's line, they say the hamburger helper needs meat in it, but I think it's just fine by itself.
Oh, sadly, though, I can tell you my mom actually used that once because we didn't have anything else to eat.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've done that, too.
Just the hamburger helper on its own?
Just the hamburger helper on its own just to make a meal.
Mm. Peanut
butter and Jell-O sandwiches.
What exactly is Hamburger Helper if it has no hamburger in it?
Pasta.
Just helper.
It's pasta. It's a noodle dish.
Well, not necessarily. It could be a rice dish, Colin.
That tastes like meat, it fools your stomach.
It could have been the intended beef stroganoff without the beef. So it's just stroganoff.
Oh, good Lord.
No, it is.
That's noodles.
That just sounds wrong.
Mm-hmm. See, growing up, all the beef stroganoff we had was with rice. Maybe we were poor. Beef. Damn it. We couldn't even afford pasta. Fuck. Yeah. All this time, I thought we were well-to-do.
I had, in your little fantasy world.
I had white spats and a top hat. Maybe that was just for Halloween that one year.
If y'all blow, you know.
That's right.
it was pretty rough. In fact, that's the reason why I actually live here in Colorado Springs, is because my mom was so poor that she couldn't afford me to be stay in Boulder. And so I moved down to live with my grandparents in Colorado Springs. And that's all because Tupou.
Tupou to let's stay in Boulder. Actually, Boulder is an expensive place to live.
Yeah. Well, and she had two jobs and was going to college at the same time. So, and raising a kid, you know, who's
which
in
kid
elementary
was that?
School. That would be my dead brother. No, that would be me.
You? Really?
Yeah, I'm an only kid.
And no help.
No help at all.
No help from the kid, most likely.
Well, you know, I tried to. I actually one time heard her crying in her bedroom. And she was crying over the bills and stuff. And so I went in and I put little tags on all my toys because I was going to sell them to my friends to make some money to help pay for the bills. Yeah.
How'd that go over?
That didn't go over well. When my mom saw what I was doing, she's like, oh, don't do that.
Made her more sad.
I'll be okay. Okay.
Not long after she shipped you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then made millions, and I'm selling Peter again.
You know, this. I do want to take an opportunity to note at the 12-minute mark, roughly, that, Colin, this was your idea for a topic.
Yeah, well, that wasn't really a...
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're the one that brought in the childhood thing. I was just talking about being poor right now.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So you're poor right now.
Well,
Colin Burton has no money to pay his bills.
I have assets
go.
I could sell if I had to, but now my bills are paid.
Assets? What do you say?
That's why he has no money.
Who are you, Magnum PI?
Oh, and it's a nice thing to know that all your bills are paid too. Oh,
it is.
Gosh,
even if you only have $20 left over when you're done, you know.
Yeah.
You're an adult enough to own a home, own a vehicle, and pay your bills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was going to bring up that back when I was a poor teenager living with my mom, that was gave me the opportunity to find out about lesbians a little earlier than
Jesus Christ.
Lesbians don't come cheap, I thought.
Lesbians?
No, they didn't come at all. It's just they had to.
They go hand in hand.
I found out about them earlier than I probably would have, you know, if we'd been richer.
Please. I don't understand.
Please explain.
Yes, please to explain. She didn't have the money to shield you from the gay lifestyle, or
kind of. They had to move into a apartment up in Denver that the people right above us were lesbians, and they had to explain to me what lesbians were.
Why did they have to explain to you?
Well, because I wanted to know.
Just to see the look on your face?
Wondering why there were...
Why are those two ladies kissing?
Exactly.
They like each other.
What are they doing now?
What are those noises in the night? Yeah. So,
That's them cleaning their carpet, son. Their carpet must be dirty.
Yeah, they're doing that every night.
What are you doing? I'm chewing on this because I hear them to be a lady.
Oh.
To get to learn how to beatbox.
Yes, yet another South Park reference in the poor episode.
Depot, Kenny, Depot!
Yeah, you learn about things faster when you're poor and in unpleasant situations.
You think so?
I think so.
Did you think it made you a better person?
Maybe,
more,
yes.
More tolerant, perhaps, of other people's lifestyles?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
Let you know that, you know, everything costs something and that money doesn't grow on trees. Oh, shit, these are all cliches. But I think it does make you a better person. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who have grown up, many of them my friends, who are a little jaded, like, oh, well, you know, I had this nice thing and I threw it out and I got this better one. You're like, well, but that thing worked just fine before. Why didn't you just keep it? You know, when you're poor, you want to keep things. You want to keep them nice.
I want to keep my iPhone.
Yeah.
I wish I had an iPhone, by the way. That would be nice.
And, but, you know, the people who grew up extremely wealthy, they just don't seem to have a type of respect for things like somebody who's poor might.
Mm.
Not saying that's 100% of the time, but it's just saying that it's my observation.
You say that poor people are grounded, down to earth.
They're grounded into the dust.
Well, they are dirt poor.
Sometimes they just don't care, and that's when I start to get a little upset, you know, saying, well,
and we know what happens when you get upset. We heard that on a previous podcast, the hammer. You were going to take a hammer to this
podcast. I will smash their car to chase them. But that's a different story.
But, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Some people do their best to do for themselves and for their kids and their families, and other people, they just don't care, or they feel like they have to give up. And I think that having grown up, knowing what it's like to have holes in your shoes and that sort of thing, it makes you less judgmental of other people, especially when you see them, they're struggling and they're embarrassed that they don't have the nice things that most other people take for granted.
You're not a kick 'em while they're down type of girl, are you?
Hell no. Hell no. No.
Yeah.
So,
Derek is.
I have a kick 'em while they're down type of girl. Yeah. That made a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know what I think is...
You put on a dress on weekends and go...
It makes you appreciate what you've got, too.
And kick the bums.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think is extremely...
You're mean to bums.
I am never mean to bums.
Justin's mean to bums.
I'm not mean to bums.
I could tell a psycho scary story about you and a bum.
Do it.
Please, because this is going nowhere.
Let's hear this.
Okay, Justin, just tell me true or false.
You think you can fill 13 minutes with it?
I might. I don't know.
We can get into that.
Here we go.
We're going to the
sweetheart.
Homeless.
Okay, let me just say, I know this isn't your proudest moment.
And we love to kick you when you're down.
But you were telling me that you were once, you hate people who are always asking for spare change.
Yes, I
and
do.
Money.
Yes, I do.
And
that is true.
This is true. You told me one time you were at a gas station and somebody approached you and said, "Hey, man, got spare change?" And you offered them a certain sum of money if
unnatural acts were performed.
If you could spray gasoline on them and set them on fire.
God, no! What the fuck?
Jesus Christ!
Did you dream that? What the hell, Jennifer?
I believe
it. Oh my God!
I believe it.
Are you insane?
I believe.
Well, I am insane!
What the hell?
I never said I wasn't insane.
I never said that!
Okay.
Oh my God!
Well, then set the record straight. What did you say?
Oh my God!
Oh, we can definitely fill 13 minutes with this psycho.
Jennifer Carmichael? What the hell? Did you dream that?
I could never have sworn said that. You told me you were pissed off. This was back when that lady had shaved your head off.
No, God, no. Shave my head off. Okay, now I know she's
dreaming.
This is
starting to sound like an acid trip, but...
I know. No, honey. I don't...
No, I never said set on fire.
Let me soak you in gas.
Wow.
So you can run while I throw matches.
Can you outrun the flame?
What?
No, I have never said that. No, you are incorrect on that.
Well, then what happened? Set the record straight.
Please.
I never had anybody do... No, there was... The times that I've had been bugged for change, I've said no, or I've passed, or I've just ignored them and passed by. There was one time when I did go to a gas station. There was a guy sitting out in front of the gas station, but he didn't say anything to me. But he looked hard on his
look. Oh, I'm not talking about that time. Look. This was one of your prouder moments.
Did you
go ahead and tell this one.
Justin, I went in.
You just say hard on his luck?
Hard out on his luck, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hard out on his luck.
And I... boy, that looks pretty damn hard. I'm liking this. No. So I went inside, got whatever I was going to get. I also got a cup of coffee, and I got a Nutri-Grain bar. And I walked out, and the guy looked up at me like he was going to ask me for some change, but he never got it out. And I said, "Here, buddy, you look like you could use this." Gave it to him, and he said, "Oh, thank you, thank
and
you, God bless."
And then you set him on fire.
And then I set the fucker on fire because that bastard... No, I never was gonna. Oh my God, Jennifer.
The Nutri-Grain bar was a trick.
No.
Look
it's
over
an accelerant.
Here. Little do people know it's.
And
filled
I
with,
watched him
it's,
eat it.
It's filled with
savoring every bite. Oh, this is good.
It's the Sterno flavor of the Nutri-Grain bar.
No.
You learned that from CSI.
No, I don't like the people who beg for change because that just seems like the lowest level. That's the lowest that you can get.
You need to at least ask for bills.
Begging for change.
Yeah.
Sure, man. I mean, at least they're bigger. No, if you're begging for change, that means that you're not, to me, that means you're not trying and you don't care. I've been homeless. Yeah. In Tallahassee, I was homeless for 1 month. I had a job. I just had no place to stay. And I did actually go, I think I went one night to the homeless shelter. I walked out of there in a couple of hours. I couldn't be there. I just couldn't be there. So I slept in my car for a majority of that time. But it's one of those questions. Do you want to get out of the situation that you are in right now? Or do you want to just stay there and be complacent? And I think that if you're begging for change, sitting down on the curb, not doing anything, not trying. I know it's hard for some people. I know it, but it is possible to get out of there and not by running out ablaze.
I can see your point, Justin, that the change is just a stopgap. It's just a way to get from point A to point B, maybe from hungry to one meal.
Yeah,
so.
But there are other ways out. There are people who can help you there, but some of these people just don't care, and that's why I get so upset when I walk down Tejon and I see kids who are not homeless, who are at the corner bistro with their friends, and then they ask some guy for change, or, hey, are you going to finish your doggy bag of food, you know? Oh my God, that's just the lowest that I think.
We have a fun story to tell about, especially, we were on Tejon, as a matter of fact. Colin, go.
Well, we were coming out of
Chipotle
down there on Tejon, and it was you, me, Jeannie.
No, Alex.
Alex was with us?
Yeah, that was back when we actually ate lunch with him.
Okay. Yeah, we were coming out, and Jeannie had a leftover taco that she hadn't eaten from her meal.
Taco!
And you pointed out, I'm pretty sure it was you because you're like this, you pointed out a guy up the street.
I was kidding. I said, you know what, Jeannie, you know what you should do with that taco? You should give it to somebody less fortunate like that guy. Yeah. He wasn't homeless. He was just like a painter.
Well, we don't know if he's homeless or not.
Jeannie, she bought hook, line, and sinker that he was homeless and needed food, walked right up to him and said, here. And he just kind of looked at her like, what?
What the hell?
And she's all, no, you take it. Okay.
I like Jeannie. I've never met her, but she's a sweetheart.
Well, but
and you are mean and evil.
Here's the thing. This guy kind of looked
on every level. No, you're mean and evil. Setting people afire.
I wasn't. You did.
This guy did look a little questionable and everything, and she was really hesitant about approaching him. But Derek, you know, being Derek, egging her on. Oh, no, come on. It'll be great. You'd be doing him a favor. You'd be giving him a meal.
And doing me a favor at the same time. I needed something to laugh about.
Right. But this is what Derek thought was the funniest thing is when she was over there dealing with him with her back to us, we left.
We took off.
We ran like hell.
Yeah, so that's it. But there is a city ordinance here in town that some people who don't live here might not be aware of. The city ordinance, it's posted at every major intersection off of the on-ramps where the bums usually would panhandle prior to the city ordinance being passed. It's that no, you cannot panhandle within a certain distance from the street. You can't panhandle it at intersections, blah, blah, blah. Especially, specifically, Cimarron off-ramp I-25 going northbound was always a huge hangout for, and Bijou. Bijou also was a huge hangout for the homeless.
Oh, yeah. Folks. Always saw homeless people on Bijou.
And I had in the past made up little care packages, you know, little bags of, you know, lunch to take to these people. If I saw them, I'd, you know, say, hey, here you go.
Really?
And some of them.
Down from evil to just kind of mean.
No.
Some of them.
Can you verify that this actually happened?
Yes. Some of them were very grateful, and others were like, I don't want this.
So
you can differentiate between those who are truly needy and those who are just doing it to make some cash, whether they'll take your bag of food. But now when I see them, instead of giving them the bag of food, and you'll probably promote me back to evil for this. I don't give them the finger. I recite for them if they're standing, because they're standing close enough to the sign for me to read it. I roll down my window, and I recite the ordinance. And then I roll my window back up. It is unlawful for anyone to solicit at this location per city ordinance.
And then I have my cell phone that I'm going to call.
Well, no, I don't right go that far, but they've got their little cardboard sign, and they've got their lack of dignity, and they...
Hey, you know. I wonder if that's why that one woman was driving around asking for money, so that she could be more mobile.
Oh, maybe.
Not get caught.
Yeah, Colin, why don't you tell that story? We've got a few minutes.
I already did, but...
Well, not on this podcast.
All right, I was leaving La Casita one morning, and...
La Casita being a... shitty Mexican place.
A yummy not breakfast shitty. Place. It's a yummy
they have
place.
Great breakfast. Great for breakfast, I was breakfast, crappy for lunch.
Okay, I was on my way out, and this woman in this large, like, Lincoln Continental, some kind of old car, I think it may even have had fins, she's approaching me. She leans her head out the window, and she's waving at me like she knows me. And she kind of looked like she might have been related. She looked like one of my aunts.
Red hair, yeah. I mean,
well, but, so I'm slowing down, I roll down my window. She says, "Do you have any change?" No. So I say, no, roll up my window and drive on. And that was just the weirdest thing.
That is very strange.
I've never had a drive-by
Drive-by panhandling, yeah. Well, that's tough, because how did she get the car?
I would imagine they're handing them out to the homeless. I mean, here, you don't have a home, have a car. This is a big one. You can
live in that.
You won't be able to drive too far with it.
It's a family car.
Yeah.
Maybe she was begging for gas change. I'm on fumes.
I'm still saying that.
And you know, I'll tell you what, a more effective way to do
that.
Not
driving.
Yeah, a more effective way to do that, quit wasting your gas that you got left.
You know, camp out by the car with a sign, need gas. We see that big ass car, we'll say, yeah, I can understand that.
I don't know of any service station that still sells regular, but okay, you know, here's a couple of bucks. But no, and not too long ago, we had gone to dinner with I think my grandparents. Were you guys there?
Where?
I don't know.
When we went to dinner, and I got hit up for change, loose change outside of Brooklyn.
No.
Not Brooklyn, New York, but Brooklyn, the pizza joint.
Yeah,
I know.
We weren't with you.
These ratty-looking kids came by and... said, "You got any change?" And I just dug in my pocket quickly and grabbed a handful and just handed it to her, and she dropped half of it. Well, my wife wasn't looking at me, and she thought I had just picked up a lot of change and pitched it at her.
See, that's what you need to do.
And you know, the sad thing is, I wished I had, because that makes for a much better story. But no, instead, she just was clumsy and fumble fingers and dropped her change, because I had given her such a bounty of change. I had given her easily $4.95 in coins, and her petite little homeless hands couldn't carry it all because she was weak from lack of food. But the thought of somebody just pulling a big wad of change out. Smack!
What's your catch, you keep?
Here's a penny! Here's another penny!
There's an idea, Justin, for those that you don't like when they're begging. You know, get out a quarter and then roll it down the street. Let them chase it.
But no, that's my quarter.
You don't think that's worth a quarter?
The quarter's
watching them run after it.
That's a quarter's worth of entertainment right there.
To keep it from going into the gutter. I mean, come on.
You know, it's a quarter and a quarter and a half entertainment. You got a video camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like bum fights. Oh my God.
Justin,
we're turning into bum fights.
You're turning evil.
Bum fight. Bum fights. A good idea, poor execution. You know, that's the problem.
Gasoline and bum fights, Justin.
That's how you make it really interesting.
Come on.
Whoever gets to the bucket
of water first.
That's right.
You're so evil.
You're the one who thought up.
You married him.
I'm thinking my family's having a bad effect.
Oh, I do, but we might be out of time.
Oh, do we have time for
a story? Do you have a short story?
It's very short, actually, yes.
Okay, you've got a short story. Go.
Okay, every day before work, Priscilla and I walk around the lake, and
who's Priscilla?
This lady that I work
with. Queen of the Desert?
Yes. My friend Priscilla from work, we walk around the lake every day before we go in.
You work in the desert?
Shut up!
You're making a short story long, motherfucker!
You wanted it short! God!
We're out of time! I'm kidding, go.
Okay. There's a ton of people that walk around this lake, and usually when you go out to go for a walk, you don't have a purse, you don't have, you wear like your little sweatpants or something, you don't have pockets. And we get these kids that just come up to us, "Do you have change?" can we borrow a couple of bucks? Can we have some change? Like, we're carrying any money. They can see that our hands are empty. We don't have pockets.
Our hands are empty.
Our hands are
empty. No money. We're hand empty.
We're hand empty. I'm serious, but you get these people that think, oh, I'm going to go bug the people that are walking around the lake. And it drives me crazy because you can see, obviously, we're not carrying anything.
But see, that's, once again, they don't care. They're non-observant. They just, they're going through their lives. Yeah, they just want handouts. Yeah.
I get hit up for cigarettes and lighters quite often. Hey man, you got fire?
Me too.
Hey man, you got fire?
Got fire?
Yes, I have fire. I also have wheel. Four. Look at them. Observe my wingspan.
I have fire in this can of gas.
That's right. My name's Justin Carmichael. You'd better run.
That's my new subheader right there.
My name's Justin Carmichael.
You'd better run.
What?
Oh, well, that was the wrong button.
I guess so.
This was we're playing ourselves out of this one. Where times is up. We are time up. I'm Derek Knight from SetOfCheese.com. You've been listening to the Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, the one where Justin sets bums on fire. Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com was with us.
Goodbye, fan.
As was Heather from Matted Spam.
Bye, bye, bye.
Justin the Pyromaniac Killer from wherever the hell.
See you later, my peep.
And his wife, Jennifer, who was so eloquent about being poor.
Yeah, don't set anyone on fire, please.
Okay, we'll see you back again next Wednesday, kids.